It's sometimes been said that what the Institutes of the Christian Religion did for Protestantism was to confer upon it intellectual respectability. Now, what that means is that although Luther had, for example, written his catechisms, the greater one as a broad presentation of his faith, the minor one, the lesser one, as a teaching device for ordinary people and to be instructed in the Reformed faith, thus far, the Reformed tradition, the Protestant tradition generally, did not have anything that was, in a sense, an analog to Peter Lombard's Four Books of Sentences, produced in the 12th century, and for a long time, essentially the textbook, if you like, of Catholic teaching on a wide variety of subjects. With Calvin's Institutes, Protestantism now had a book that laid out a systematic presentation of the Protestant faith, of Christianity as professed by those people who were now being called Protestants. So it's in that sense that one says that Calvin's Institutes confer intellectual respectability on Protestantism. Now, the Institutes were built up systematically as a series of biblically grounded reflections on the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. Now, it's interesting to note that Luther's catechisms were built up as systematic expositions of the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. Now, there were some fairly important differences between Luther's teachings and Calvin's teachings, to be sure, but their basic way of building up their ideas was much the same. It's sort of as if the basic architecture was similar, whereas the details differed a little bit. Now, in order to try to capture a sense of the Reformed faith as taught by Calvin, of the doctrines as presented in the Institutes of the Christian Religion, build up, as I've said, with a series of systematic, biblically grounded reflections on the commandments, the Our Father, and the Apostles' Creed, teachers have long adverted to a mnemonic device, the tulip. Now, whether there's an irony that Holland became Calvinist and has lots of tulips, I really am not quite sure. I think that's just a sort of a happy accident. But anyway, let me emphasize right away, if you take the Institutes of the Christian Religion off the shelf, do it carefully, it's a big book. If you take this book off the shelf, you won't find tulips in it. This is a way that teachers reorganize the material there in order to try to make it memorable, in order to help people kind of fix in mind what some of Calvin's fundamental ideas were. All right, tulip then, T, total depravity. Man is utterly sinful. He is completely incapable of taking any steps to merit his own redemption. He has no good in him. U, unconditional election. Those whom God elects to salvation are elected unconditionally. That is, their election is not conditional on their mode of life. On, as we learned to say when we were talking about Martin Luther, on their works. So election does not depend on anything that you do in the course of your life. L, limited atonement. Atonement, of course, has to do with the death of Christ on the cross. For whom did Christ die? To atone whose sins did Christ die? To Calvin, Christ died for the elect, not for all humankind, for the elect. Who are these elect? We'll return to that in just a minute. I, irresistible grace. God's grace is irresistible for the elect, who, therefore, once again, have no claim to merit. Merit, things you have done in your life, things you have done well in your life, do not give you a claim upon grace. Grace is not a reward for conduct. P, persistence in grace. Grace cannot be lost or rejected by the elect. If you are among the elect, grace is irresistible and grace is persistent.